G'day Jets fans, well we're back with another of this season's previews, and this preview, we're talking about the Perth Glory, and I'm joined here tonight by Blaine from the Far Post Perth. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day mate, thanks for having us on again.
Mate, always a pleasure, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Off-season, been a long off-season for Perth, I've been saying this to everyone. How have you treated the off-season, what have you been doing?
Yeah, mate, it's been a little bit interesting. Obviously, with the off-season, our NPL academy side had quite a good season. I think they finished the highest that they've ever done, unfortunately. They slipped at the final hurdle. I think they needed, the second place, Perth SC, needed 6 points in the last two games, with Perth Glory ahead only by five, and they managed to do it. So, the young blokes just slipped at the final hurdle in terms of picking up their first bit of NPL silverware. I think from memory would have only been the second time an A-League club's won the NPL behind you blokes, I think, from memory. So, it would have been a hell of an achievement for the young guys. But, as you said, long A-League season. I think we're all, chomping at the bit to try and get things started, yeah.
I mean, the off-season hadn't even started for Perth Glory when the news had broken that they'd axed Kenny Lowe as their head coach after missing out in the finals, and with Kenny moving, I guess, aside to coach the youth team, and they're doing what they're doing. Was it the right time for Kenny to step down from his role with the club?
Yeah, I think a lot of... from a fans' perspective, surely, I think people had thought that... as good a job as Kenny Lowe, I think he'd hit his limits in terms of what he could do with a professional football side. He's got a massive pedigree when it comes to bringing up and developing young football players. And I think most of the fans would be quite happy that he's gone back into that sort of a role as, looking over the academy sides at the moment. So, I think it was probably a fair decision. And then, of course... when Popovich came on the radar, we're all absolutely thrilled that we could pick up someone of his pedigree.
Did you really think that you were a serious contender for Popovich? Was it one of those? I mean, names get thrown around, and please don't take this in the wrong way, because I think it's a fantastic pickup for Perth, and Perth are such a big club that I think that Popper's probably the size of coach that you need as well. I didn't really see him going to Perth though. That never really entered my consideration. But when it did it surprise you?
I think it was just one of those things that the stars kind of aligned for us, and it just fell into place nicely. He went away, left the Wanderers, at the 11th hour last year, went across to try his hand in Turkey, and that didn't work out. And I think it was just a matter of timing, I think, and it just fell into place nicely for us. And, full credit has to go to the, outgoing CEO in Peter Philopoulos, and also the owner in Tony Sage in getting someone of that calibre out here, because it's surely needed as we kind of strive to bring back some of those glory days, as we like to say, because we've been very, very starved of any sort of, relative success in the A-League. And I think the fans are almost starting to feel that, come on, it's our turn to win something now. Obviously, being the only original A-League club and having a history before that hasn't won anything since 2003. Mm. I think someone put up a statistic a while back. I think we've hit 14 finals, whether that might be in FFA Cup or W League or National Youth League or even A-League, that we've only ever won two of them, and that's going all the way back to the NSL days. So... We're really, really starved for a bit of silverware and to trying to kick on the club in terms of some success, yeah.
As a fan, what have you noticed the difference straight away between the approach that Popper's implemented with Perth Glory compared to the way that Kenny was managing the team?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing reports of players saying it's one of the hardest pre-seasons they've ever endured. I've had a chat to a few people around the club, and they've mentioned that Popovich and Tony Pignata, obviously the new CEO there, they're pretty much leaving no stone unturned, along with the football manager Jacob Burns, who did a great job in trying to keep the place together while we didn't have a CEO, while we didn't have a coach in the works. So it's been relatively positive what we've heard of coming out of the club, albeit a rather a subdued and a quiet pre-season. I think everyone's just happy that they're ticking along and getting themselves primed for the season. Yeah,
I mean, Peter Philopoulos did quit and head over to Football Federation Victoria at the end of April, and to be replaced by Piñata, I mean, a massive loss for Perth. Philopoulos, I've always found him to be quite a good operator. But bringing in Piñata, it's almost like a dream off-season in terms of off the field to start before we even get to on the field stuff.
Yeah, 100% right, and I don't need to tell anyone about the problems that we've had off field in the A-League era. We've had plenty of them, and it's good to have some guys come in that are smooth operators and know how to run a football club and keep everyone together. So it can only be a positive thing in our opinion.
I mean, Perth's recruitment and we'll get to them in just a sec, has been done very quickly. But I'm interested to talk about the outs before we go there. I mean, the biggest profile, I would say, would be Adam Taggart. His departure to the Raw, was that something that was surprising to Perth Glory fans?
Yeah, it was. He's a bit of a crowd favourite in some respects over here in Perth. Obviously, being a local boy and coming through the local leagues and everything, and then going to try his hand in Fulham and playing somewhat of a part in the Socceroos World Cup side. So he was quite well liked, but I think it might have been similar to the Josh Houston situation, where sometimes the guys can get a bit too comfortable in their hometown if they're not having that kind of push. And just keep kind of breaking those limits, if you like, and those comfort zones. Then I think sometimes you can get get quite complacent, and you're not really looking for that next. Been the case with Adam Taggart.
I mean, the other four that I've got listed here departing. I mean, Joseph Mills, Andreu, who you never probably really got to see the sort of form or influence he had on the team at Western Sydney. Jeremy Walker, who, I mean, Jets fans remember him for a wonderful Oggie last season, and Joe Knowles. So, I mean, Joseph Mills is probably the only one that was really getting in the starting lineup regularly. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he was. To be fair, I would have, if I was the coach, I would have tried to keep him around. He was quite a handy left back there, and he used to get himself up the park quite nicely and cause a bit of problems down the left side there. Andreu, we definitely 100% agree with you there. We definitely never saw the best of him since his Western Sydney Wanderers days. And another interesting one was Joe Knowles, who fantastic at NPL level, just never really, for whatever reason, got himself up or never got the opportunity to get himself up for A-League football. So, no, I don't think there's any bad feelings or anything. I think these guys have just headed on for in terms of trying to get their career onto a different track. Yeah.
Well, look, and let's go over to these ins, and these are certainly on paper. This is probably, in my opinion, the recruitment that you guys win the recruitment this off season. So, Ivan Franjic from the Brisbane Roar, Tomislav Mosella, Socceroo. Still could be getting called up. Brendan Santelab coming across from the Western Sydney Wanderers. Really, really impressive signing of Matt Spiranovic. Tando Valafi coming in, I guess, as the second keeper. Jason Davidson, Fabio Ferreira, Wande. And for me, the player that I would have loved the Jets to sign and to bring him over from Lazio on a couple-of-year deal as well is Chris Economides. Wow. Are you pinching yourself as a Perth Glory fan with the names that you've managed to bring into the team?
It's quite an impressive, lineup on paper. But I'll go back to the old saying, mate, it's not paid on paper. Football's not played on paper. And we've we've done ourselves plenty of times going, oh, you know, we might have a shot this year with the side that we've got, and it just hasn't really eventuated. So I think a lot of Perth fans are just holding themselves back from getting too excited too early this season. We've happened to fall away for whatever reason in previous seasons when we've also had a good side. But, I mean, another thing worth noting, and I think it was Neil Sherwin, one of the guys that I work with on the far post, mentioned, you know, we've always been told that Perth struggles to recruit good players or players of a decent pedigree because of, you know, where we are geographically and what have you. But it just shows that once you can get a decent manager in that has the respect of these players, how actually quick and how easy it seemed to happen, which is, yeah. So it's going to be a really exciting season. I think everyone's just quietly optimistic that we can just go and get some early results and, you know, kick off the season nicely.
Yeah, look, a lot of what you're saying there is really hitting home, particularly for us. You look back at the Jets last season as well and get a decent coach in, and it, you're right, it all just becomes easy. And I think that that's probably going to be how Perth see it this year. I mean, I mentioned the recruitment was done quickly, it was done early, and they've all had a pre-season together. And I think there's going to be a fair bit of expectation on Perth this year.
Yeah, you're possibly right. We can always, being so far away from that East Coast too, I think we could possibly just slip under the radar a little bit, which I think we'd prefer to do, even though it would be in the back of the coaches' minds and everything else. I think through the media and through the opposition fans, I think we could possibly just tick along nicely and then see where we are, you know, Christmas time or heading into January and February, and then, you know, see where we're at, and hopefully have a crack at some silverware.
Mate, well, you're definitely on my radar. I've got you down at to finish second this year, so behind City. So, I mean, but look, FFA Cup, the round of 32, I think it was a knockout, 1-0 loss to the Melbourne Victory. Disappointing, I guess, but playing an A-League team at the same stage, I guess, during their pre-season, it's always a bit of a toss of the coin.
Yeah, 100% right. Unfortunately, we struggled to get some decent opposition in pre-season. Being so isolated out here, it's hard to get, you know, your A-League clubs or coming out here for games. So I think we've had to travel twice over east, once to Adelaide, once to Melbourne City, to place them behind the closed doors friendly. But other than that, we've had to really take on NPL sides, local NPL sides. We had a bit of a tour of Malaysia, and as well as playing the WA state side. So those kind of, if we have a decent cup run, then it generally means that we have a decent competitive off-season or pre-season. And unfortunately, yeah, we just got done by Melbourne Victory in the opening day. So, yeah, it didn't help us out too much.
I mean, almost like another signing, I guess, is the fact that you've got Diego Castro back early into pre-season this year. Is that going to be really important for any sort of success the club's going to have?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the biggest qualms a lot of the fans had last year. I think I'm not sure if what kind of relationship Diego and Kenny Lowe had, but it was quite clear that it felt like Diego Castro was virtually allowed to just come in as he liked. I'm not too sure about the relationship that they had, but I think most of the fans were very, very pleased that Popovich was adamant on having him here as early as possible. And at his age, I think the strength and conditioning needs to come in. You know, he needs to play a hell of a role to make sure that he's fitting on the park at 36 years old.
Mm. Well, what will be the key to success for Perth Glory this year, in your eyes?
I 100% agree with what Popovich has done in really shoring up that defence. I think we've had, you know, we've conceded 55 plus goals the last couple of seasons, and that was really our downfall. So if we can keep them out, then I guess it's less we have to score, which could also be a little bit of a concern where fans are thinking where are the goals actually going to come from is another bit of a concern. I think we'll generally go with probably plays three at the back with a few reinforcements, defensive midfielders. So, but it's going to be interesting to see where the goals actually come from with only having only Keo and I guess Economides as any kind of out and out strikers. So I think we'll have to pick up a fair few goals from the midfield this season.
I mean, crystal ball time. I've laid my cards out on the table, and I said that Perth Glory, I predict that they'll come second. What are you expecting, and what are Perth Glory fans expecting from them this year?
Yeah, see, I went too hard too early last season, and I put them up to I think about top four, and just they fell away, and so made me look like a bit of a knob, but. Anyway, I think I'll probably pick top four again this season, but I think that we've definitely sturdied up the stocks and looking at some of the other sides, I really just think it's going to be a really competitive season all round for most clubs. I can't see anyone really running away with it like your Sydney FCs have in the past. So if we can hang around that top four and then, as I said, see how we are at Christmas or come January and February and hopefully have a decent crack towards the season's end.
Yeah, I guess by that stage as well, Victory Sydney, and with any luck, the Jets will have the ACL campaign to think about as well. I mean, prediction time, and it's up to you whether you want to just give me one-word answers or go into a little bit more detail. I've got five questions for you. Who are the premiers going to be?
Oh, difficult. I think Melbourne City's recruited well. I think Sydney FC's always going to be up there. Melbourne Victory. I wouldn't go past Melbourne Victory, to be honest with you.
Okay. Who are the grand final winners going to be?
Yeah, it's always a lottery. I'll tell you what, if we can finish high enough, I'm going to go really bold here. If we can finish high enough and get ourselves a couple of home finals, there's no reason why Perth couldn't do it.
Who are the Wooden Spooners going to be?
Yeah, you would probably be pleased for me to say this, but I think Mariners. I can't see them really doing much again this season.
And the top scorer in the league.
Difficult one again. I might have to get back to you on that one, mate. I'll need to sit down and do a bit of homework.
No, mine's Fornaroli. Definitely Fornaroli. I think with the people that he's got around him, he's just going to be knocking them in for fun. And last one, the Jets. Where do you expect the Jets are going to finish this year?
Yeah, I think you guys can still be competitive. I think you definitely finish in the top half. I'll probably pick you guys for finishing fourth.
Okay, very good. Blaine, thank you very much for joining us. If people want to get in touch with you, if they want to follow you or listen to the podcast, that they can find you at Far Post Perth on Twitter. Any more details, mate, you'd like to shoot our way?
Yeah, on Twitter, on Facebook, on the socials. Yeah, we'd like to spread the word a little bit about not only Glory, but WA football and that kind of thing. So it's always good when people want to, jump on board and have a bit of a chat and have a bit of a laugh and a bit of banter. So, yeah, more than welcome to jump on board and say good day.
Give the guys a listen. It's a great podcast. They're wonderful supporters as well of the Jetstream, and we enjoy talking to them very regularly. Blaine, thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again throughout the season.
Yeah, thanks a lot, David. Cheers.